This is Journey Church Podcast. Here at Journey, we believe in encountering God and embracing people. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
He's enough. God is enough. He's more than enough. And I was, you know, as I heard that, maybe I should change the title of our message today to God is more than enough. And so I don't know what you came in here with. But I would imagine you're coming in here with things. And there's a God of peace today, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. You know, there's a lot of uncertainties in our world, isn't there? Like this morning, what should I wear? You know, what will the weather be like today? Should I wear the winter coat, the spring jacket? Will I have enough gas in my car to get to my final destination? Some of you, like, just, you know, worked that today. I call these things, like, low-stress uncertainties. There are other issues that you stress out about. You know, like, what's the economy going to do? Will my investments be secure? Will I have a job tomorrow? Should I be concerned about my health issues? These are what I would call like the next level uncertainties that many of us are faced with today. Benjamin Franklin, you may have heard this, his famous quote said, there are two things that are certain in life, death and... Right, and so we all know that tax season has come and gone. So I guess we all have to look forward to death, right? Well, welcome to church, everybody. I'm Pastor Dave, and so glad you're here today. Yeah, it's not something you want to talk about very often, is it? It's not something we like to even think about. We know the reality is there. And we also don't like to talk about having a will, you know, being prepared for death and being prepared for this sort of thing. Having a will helps to provide you with some peace of mind when you're gone and leave that behind. I want you to know and think about this just for a minute, if you haven't already, that you should have a will. You know, Jesus kind of had a will. We're going to look at that in just a second. But here's the cool thing, that he named you in his will. Oh, that's going to be good. So what I want to talk to you today about is peace. So let's start off with some audience participation today with a show of hands. How many of you would say, I would like to have more peace in my life? I see that hand. Just about everybody's hand is thrown up in the air today. I know your life may look busy, kind of scattered at times, lots of pressures, challenging schedules. You know, you got to take the kids from here to here to here to here to here. You've got to pay the bills. You've got emails. You've got your taxes to take care of, texts to make, difficult people to deal with. Now, don't look to the person to the left or the person to the right. Don't nudge them at all. All of us have so many things that we have to deal with, right? We could probably use a little bit of peace right now. And so I want to remind you right now that before he died, he named you in his will. Romans 8 tells us that we're heirs of God. And Jesus mentioned three different things that he willed. And so here they are. Number one, Jesus willed his mother to John. Remember that he's dying and he says to John, take care of my mom. So he wills his mother to John. Second thing we realize from the scripture is Jesus willed his spirit to the Father. Jesus said, it is finished. That's it. It's done. It's complete. I've done everything you've sent me to do. I commit my spirit into your hands. He willed his spirit to the Father. And thirdly, Jesus willed his peace to you today. I want you to hear this. John 14, 27 says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. five words in that verse. Five words in that verse that has the potential to change your life. Jesus said, "My peace I give you." Let's try this together. Ready? My peace I give you. Let that sink in just for a minute here today. It's a peace that he gives. It's a different kind of peace. It's a lasting peace. It's substantial. For example, there's a peace that we gain or we receive, we find around the world that allows us to cope with some of the pressures that we're facing in life. For example, there's a peace that we find in this world that promises to eliminate some of the tension or some of the pain that you're feeling as you smoke a drug, perhaps. And you allow that to kind of take in, shape in your body, and it numbs the pain. It takes away all of the pain and what you're facing. The drug promises to get you high and maybe numb your feelings. You feel good for a little while, and then what happens? You become dependent on it. You become dependent on this thing, this drug that we call our peace. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's drinking that you can drown your sorrows, so to speak, in the drink. Tell you, hey, if maybe it's vacations, and this one reaches home today. I think I need a vacation. But I think about, being on the beach with my toes in the sand and the nice warm breeze passing me by and the birds chirping and the seagulls and welcome back. Maybe it's the vacation, it's the getaway, it's if I can get on that vacation. Maybe it's your finances. If I just had more of the financial stability in my life, I could be more generous, I could be more giving, I could take care of my bills, all of my problems would go away, everything would be fine. If I just had a little more financial strength in my life, I could be nice, I could be generous. Be like Pastor Harmon, just giving away money to the people everywhere. There's not enough money in this world to fill the void that you have inside. So worldly peace is different than a heavenly peace or a godly peace. What is godly peace? You actually find it described in Isaiah chapter 26, and I'm going to give you the context here. Isaiah was prophesying into a culture that is much like ours. You could almost say it was equivalent of a complicated economy with high interest rates, with wars and rumors of wars. And Isaiah prophesies into a culture with great uncertainty, and everybody was afraid. And he says in the middle of this that we're going to break out into real worship. And you're going to have this heavenly peace. And here's what he says. He prophesies this. Isaiah 25 verses 1 to 3. It says this. In that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous and allow the faithful to enter. And then the prophet declares these words. He says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." How many people want some of that? Yes, I want some perfect peace. I want perfect peace. The word peace actually comes from a Hebrew word. It was the Jewish greeting. Like you walk up to someone and they would say, "Shalom." It's kind of like a, "Hey, yo, what's up?" kind of a thing, right? Nobody says that anymore, just old guys like me. Like, "God bless you," or, they would say hello, shalom. And it means wholeness. It means a completeness. It means fullness of peace. And if I came up to you saying this, this is what it would mean. You have peace, the fullness of peace of God be upon you. It may that you have peace with other people. May you be at peace with yourself. May you be at peace with your circumstances, even if they are not what you would want nor what you would choose. But God is good. And because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, may you be at perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. The original text, when Isaiah said, may be kept in shalom, he didn't just say shalom, he actually said shalom, shalom. The same word, two times back to back. He's saying, may God give you a double portion. May God give you peace and even more than your peace. And the translators of the text, they translate this as perfect peace. Jesus says, my peace I give you. And some of you might say, oh, Jesus, okay, thanks. Thanks for your peace, Jesus. If you're giving me your peace, why am I so anxious? Why do I feel the way I feel? I don't understand it. I'm doing the right things. I take my vitamins. I read my Bible. I say a prayer. I go to church on Sundays. I'm doing all the right things. Where's your peace? Where's this peace that's been promised to me? Why do I feel anxious? Anybody relate to this? Why do I still feel overwhelmed? Let me just ask you a question here. Can I really have your peace in the world that's swirling around? Can I really have peace? Can I really have peace when my kid is hanging out with the wrong crowd? And I'm pretty certain they're doing some things that are not desirable. I'm not sure if it's dangerous. I'm not sure what kind of trouble they're going to get into. God, can I really be peaceful then? Can I really have peace from heaven when my best friend not only let me down, but betrayed me and lied to me? Can I really have peace, God? Can I really have peace when the doctor has given me some bad news? Can I really have peace when I have to go through the treatment? Can I really have peace? Like, I can't even catch my breath. And I feel so anxious. How do I find this peace? Well, the prophet tells us in Scripture, and the Scripture is so important that we hang on to today. But here's what it says. You will keep in perfect peace. Notice what it doesn't say. You will keep in perfect peace all those who are obsessed about negative thoughts. You will keep in perfect peace all those who are stuck in negative thought patterns. It doesn't say you will gain perfect peace if you complain. You're not going to gain perfect peace if you criticize. You're not going to gain perfect peace if you catastrophize and if you're stuck with intrusive thoughts. Scriptures say you'll be kept in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on God. You'll be kept in the heavenly kind of peace of this world, that this world will not understand when your mind and your thoughts are fixed on God. This verse shows us that the battle for peace begins in our mind. You see this? The challenge for many people, myself included, is keeping our minds fixed on God. The battle for peace begins in your mind. How many of you would say sometimes, you know, I've got a war going on in my mind. Like, it might look good on the outside, but man, there is a swirl of unhealthy things that are taking place in my mind. You'll be kept in perfect peace, all those whose thoughts are fixed on God. Think about this word, fixed. It comes from the Hebrew means to lean on completely, to fully rest oneself. That's what the word means. Think of it this way, that you'll be kept in perfect peace when your mind is leaning on God's truth. You'll be kept in perfect peace when your thoughts are resting on God's unfailing promises. You'll be kept at perfect peace when your mind is fixed on the truth, the power of God's goodness, his promises for you. So what's your mind fixed on? I think sometimes our mind is like a fireman's hose, and all the thoughts are just coming in, and you can't even isolate where what's going on, what's happening, what am I thinking about? It's just too much happening all at once. What's your mind fixed on? There needs to be some creative cognitive restructuring to help you identify the challenge, some of the unhelpful, inaccurate thought patterns, and replace them with healthier ways of thinking. And, you know, if I said to you, listen, you know, I want you to just look at all the cars on the road, but whatever you do, don't look at the blue cars. Guess what you think about? Blue cars. Wow, the blue cars are so nice. I know Pastor Dave said not to look at it. I can't just say to you today, stop thinking about the negative things. Because guess what? It's heightened. You're more aware of it. You think about the things you're not supposed to think about, and you don't think about what you should think about. It's just like so confusing. Why is this so hard? God, just give me your peace. In fact, the redirection of your thoughts and actions will start to take some neural pathway changes. As the habits of your thinking begin to be replaced and the new parts of your brain are used, what happens is you're actually rewiring your brain when you start thinking about new things. So the brain begins to rewire itself with a simple change and a simple mindset. And I would suggest, maybe you need some help with this, maybe you need a coach, maybe you need a counselor, a psychotherapist, whatever it is. But let me tell you, the ultimate counselor is the Word of God. Change begins with the Word of God. Some of you are feeling stuck as your mind gets fixed on the worst case scenario. You know, some of you are just so good at this. Oh no, it's gonna be bad. And you just go to a bad place and you can't help but go to the worst case scenario, and your mind gets stuck on this. It becomes repetitive, these lies and these fears. And what happens is anxiety takes over. Now your shortness of breath, and you feel like the walls are caving in. Your chest is caving in. You're actually having physiological challenges, and it affects your body in some realms. What's your mind fixed on, and why does it matter? What? Because what consumes your mind controls your life. And maybe that's why the Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 4:8. He said this. He said, fix your thoughts on what is true. What God said is true about you. What does God's word say about your situation that you're faced with right now? Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable, and almost everything you read in this world today, everything that you hear is the opposite. Fix your minds on what you should be afraid of. Fix your mind on what could go wrong. Fix your mind on what he said. Fix your mind on what she said. She said, well, they should, you know, maybe they should be canceled. And that's what's the scriptures say, fix your mind on what is pure and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And when you fix your mind on the things of God, Philippians 4 says, then the God of peace will be with you. Five words that could change your life. Jesus says, my peace I give you. Write that down. Put that in your head, put it in your book, put it on your arm, put it wherever you need to remember this. My peace I give you. Jesus isn't just giving you a peace. He's giving you his peace. His peace is a peace that this world doesn't understand. There's a story about Jesus and his disciples, and they're in the boat together. The storm comes, and everyone's stressed out. Now, I'm sure if this happened today, that the story wouldn't really be any different from the disciples to the rest of us here today. You know, there's a storm coming, everybody's freaking out, we're all scared, we're all nervous. And Jesus is in the boat, and we're still scared, and we're freaking out. But there's two storms that are taking place on that day. There's this visible storm that everyone can see on the outside, and there's this invisible storm on the inside. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at this kind of scenario, it's the storm that's on the inside that usually hits me a little harder than the external storms of the day. I can sometimes block out the other storms, but I can't block out what's going on inside. I'm feeling it pretty deeply, feeling it pretty emotionally. And it's the storm on the inside that the disciples are like going, Jesus, don't you even care? Don't you even care what's going on here? Don't you know what we're going through? And so that's where we go sometimes. Like, Jesus, don't you even know what I've done for you? I've been working hard in the kingdom. I've been doing things for you, God. Look at me. And you're leaving me out here? Jesus, this doesn't make sense. Jesus, where are you? And Jesus gets up, and what does he do? What does he say? He says the word, he says to the storm, he says, peace, peace, be still. Now, I'm going to ask you an easy question, not a trick question. When did Jesus say peace? What was going on here? Well, there was a storm happening, and that just shows us that this perfect peace does not mean that you won't have some bad days. He speaks peace in the middle of the storm. Perfect peace doesn't mean that Jesus is not still with you when things are tough. It doesn't mean that you won't have troubles. It doesn't mean that your heart's not going to be broken. It doesn't mean bad things are not going to happen to you. It doesn't mean there aren't going to be days when you feel like you just don't have the physical strength to go on. But this is a different kind of peace. You see, this peace isn't found in the absence of problems. But true peace is found in the presence of God. It's a different kind of peace. It's not a peace that the world gives. This is a peace that comes from the Father. And I think some of us in this place today are walking around carrying things that are heavy, that are anything but God's peace. And I want you to know today, you will be kept in shalom, shalom, in perfect peace when your mind is fixed on him. And so Jesus says, my peace I give to you always. You know, I can remember the time when I was teaching my children how to ride a bike. Anybody else can remember that terrible experience? If you haven't been there yet, maybe it'll be different for you. But for me, it was hard, okay? So your child gets on the bike, and of course, already you have to bend over. So there's some pain involved in the sciatica. And you got to put your hand on the seat, And now the kid is going like, you're just having a good old time. And they're just like, happy, daddy, this is great. I love this. It's so fun. So great. I'm like, am I back? Are you almost got this yet, kid? And let go. And boom, they fall down. And they're crying. And they got bruises. They got cuts. Daddy, you let me go. It's okay. It's okay. Let's try that again. This time I'm not going to let go. It's okay. Let's go. Little guy. Little girl, and we're going. The wheels faster, 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 holding on to the seat. You think you got this now? Wobbly, wobbly, some gravel. Oh, hold on there. Okay, let's go. You got it going. You're good. You're good. You're good. Go. Go. Bang. They're down on the ground again. I'm like, oh, this is so hard. Okay. And they're crying, tears, like just that ugly cry. You know, that kind of cry. And you sit them down like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, that's hard. You know, I just want to tell you, when I was a little boy, you know, riding my bike was hard. I remember my dad showing me how to do it, and I fell off and I hurt myself. And I said, I don't trust you anymore and all that kind of stuff. Maybe you believe the same thing, but I just want you to know it's going to be okay. You're going to make it. Daddy's with you. It's okay. And they're like, I don't know what you said, Dad. It's just crying, crying. And then suddenly, give it some time. And it's like all the words, all the things that I had said to my little child, like a sense of peace comes over them. And, you know, understanding that there was like a transfer of peace. Like, it's okay. You're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. There's worse things that can happen. This is going to be okay. You're going to make it. And then they start to believe you. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks, Dad. And this transfer takes place of the peace that I'm walking with. And the peace that I carry, I pass it on to my child. And it gets into their thinking. It gets into their spirit. And they got it. Peace took over. And there's this real excitement that begins. And they learn how to ride a bike. And it's incredible. And I had let go of the seat. Now they're there just humming away. You know, Jesus puts his peace in our hearts. I'm not sure if you're experiencing this today. But I think there's someone in here today that's tired of the pseudo peace. You're tired of the peace that just doesn't cut it. You're tired of the peace of this world that does not last. And you're ready for a different kind of peace. Shalom, shalom. The perfect peace of God. Paul describes this from a prison. He's awaiting possible execution when it couldn't get any worse than it was. This is what he said. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Well, we could probably just stop right there. Whatever it is, whatever's weighing in on you, God says, do not worry about it. If it's big enough to worry about, then it's big enough to pray about. So that's what we're going to do today. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you take what's on your heart and you give it to God, there's a peace from heaven. Listen to me, if you're not a follower of Jesus here today, you've come to church, you don't know this peace, you don't understand this peace, because it's a peace that comes from heaven. It's not from this world. It's not the normal peace that you've heard about, which the world cannot understand this peace. But you're invited today to receive this gift of peace, to receive God's peace. I think for some of you in this place today, there's someone in this place where it's just time. It's time to fix your thoughts on what is true. It's time to give him all your anxiety. It's time to give him all your cares. It's time to give him the weight of the world that you've been carrying. You know, because here's the truth, that there's an enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy everything about your life. He's a liar. The devil is a liar. And so he'll throw lies in your way, and it'll be covered up, and it'll sort of sound like truth, but it's a lie. And we listen to those lies often. My God is working in every situation to bring about good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. There is no weapon formed against you that's going to prosper. That's the word of the Lord. That my God is always good. His word is always true. His word never fails. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. All these things, whatever you face, we are more than conquerors. That's the word of the Lord. Through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor powers, nor height, nor anything in all creation will separate me from the love of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. Somebody here today needs to put their problems in the hands of Jesus. And Jesus will put his peace in your heart. He willed you something. Jesus could have said, my purpose I give to you. Jesus could have said, my passion I give to you. He could have said, my perseverance I give to you. But he said these five words, my peace I give you. It's the peace of God, not the world's peace. The world can't give it and the world can't take it away. It's the peace of God. He gives it to you today. It's not a peace, not a peace. It's his peace. Are you hearing me today? Let's pray. Would you stand with me all across this room? Would you stand with me? Bow your heads today. Father, we need that. We need your peace. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, I wonder how many of you here today have a burden that's weighing you down, that it's something that has made you anxious. It has a weight that just won't go away in your life. You're worried about something. You're worried about someone. You're worried about your health. Maybe you're worried about someone you love. There's a bad diagnosis that's happened. You're worried about your marriage. You're worried about your job. You're worried about the economy. You're worried. There's something weighing down on you. If that's you today, just lift your hands and leave it there for a second. All over this place, people are raising their hands. Just leave it there for a second. I want to pray for all of you that would say, God, I need your strength in this season. There are things that are weighing me down. They're over and above. They're way beyond what I can control, what I can take care of. So God, you see the hands of those who are calling on you today. There is a weight that's been placed upon us. Sometimes it's a weight that has been placed upon us. Sometimes it's a weight that we've put upon ourselves. But God, regardless, we're coming to you and we're saying, God, would you take this from me? I need rest in you. I need to fix my thoughts on you. I need your peace, your perfect peace in every situation, in every circumstance. I'm trusting you with my life. I'm trusting you with my marriage. I'm trusting you with my children. I'm trusting you with my finances. I'm trusting you in my business. I'm trusting you in every situation. God, bring your perfect peace. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, do a work in your people today. A work that only you can do. We put our trust in you. You can put your hands down. Keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. We are going to continue to pray today. as we're continuing to pray, without looking around, there are some of you that are just saying, you know, I'm just not really sure. I'm not really sure about what's going on. The diagnosis isn't good. I don't really know this peace you're talking about, but I want this peace. I want to know that I can navigate through life with the challenges, with the weight that I'm carrying him. And once you understand that there is a Savior, that there's one who takes the burden away from you, once you start to understand his goodness, his character, his love for you, his grace upon you, how much he loves you, you know what he's done for you, and you start to receive this gift of love. The only reasonable response to Jesus is that you give him your life. There's nothing more that you can do but just to give him your life, just to say yes to him, to recognize that he is good and that you're faulty and that you're a mess at times and you need a Savior. You need one to rescue you from the things that you're struggling with. God, why is it that we struggle? Why is it that I have these challenges? Well, the truth is we've all done bad things. We've all done things that are wrong. We're ashamed, and shame is a tool used by the enemy. It's a terrible thing that we're embarrassed by what we've done. And so the enemy would try to keep you down, try to keep you in the darkness. In the Bible, that word is called sin. Sin means that we're missing the mark, that we never measure up. We're not hitting the target. We're not hitting God's standard. And we've all sinned. Scripture says that we feel bad about it. Why do we feel bad? We've done something that we know in our hearts is against God. So what do? Well, we try to do better. We try not to be bad, but we continue to do wrong. Problem is, we can never do enough good on our own. And that's where the goodness of God comes in. Scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, the Son of God, gave us my God, he gave us his Son. He raised him from the dead that whoever believes in him, whoever trusts in him, whoever puts their trust in him, your sins will be forgiven. They'll be washed away and you'll be made brand new today. So maybe you're here today and you feel like I need to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you're watching online and you've never said yes to Jesus. This is your opportunity. This is your moment. Maybe physically you're standing here and you're like, your heart's beating faster, your palms are getting sweaty. I'm just telling you, God's speaking to you right now. He wants you to say yes to him. You know, if someone loves you so much that he'll give his only son to sacrifice his son for you, the only appropriate response is to receive that gift and say, yes, Jesus, I say yes to you. So if that's your prayer, on the count of three, I'm going to give you an opportunity just to raise your hand. I want to pray for you and you can put it back down. It's that simple. One, you're saying, yes, I want to say yes to Jesus. I've never made that decision. Two, I feel like I need something more than this world has to offer. Three, I want to say yes to Jesus. Put up your hand all across this room. You could put it back down. Is there anybody that would say yes to Jesus today? I want to give you my life. Thank you. All across this room, let's just pray this prayer on behalf of the person on your left, your right, maybe the person who didn't lift their hand, but they're believing in their heart. You don't have to lift your hands, okay? But you're saying, I want to say yes to Jesus. I need him. I need to accept this gift. All across this room, let's say this together. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for your life. Thank you for dying on my behalf, taking away all my sin. I receive you now. I accept you into my life. Forgive me, Lord. Teach me how to walk with you all the days of my life. I receive you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, will we just thank those who've given their life to Jesus in this room? Thank you, Jesus. So here's how I want to close today. We're gonna worship. I'm just gonna give the Lord some time. Let let this message maybe speak to you. Just percolate, meditate upon it for a minute or two. But maybe some of you are in this place today. You just need someone to pray with you. I'm going to invite the prayer team. Would you just come right now, prayer team? I'm just going to stand around the front here. And if you need someone to pray with you while the worship is happening, while we're singing and giving our hearts to the Lord and just pondering upon Him, would you come if you need prayer? And if you're no spectators today, either you're praising God, seeking Him, or coming forward, let's just give Him some of this time before we leave today and allow His presence to speak to us. Let's worship together. Would you lead us, worship team? Same God. God never changes. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God. Let's worship Him.
Thank you for joining us today on Journey Church Podcast. For more information about our ministry, visit myjourney.church.